incapable even of telling his own story. There was a quality of intelligence in his forehead and eyes, and a certain tremulousness in his nether lip that decided me. "Very warm," said I, "but not too warm for us here." "No," he said, still looking across the water. "It is pleasant enough here, just now." "It is good," he continued after a pause, "to find anything so restful as this in London. After one has been fretting about business all day, about getting on, meeting obligations, and parrying dangers, I do not know what one would do if it were not for such pacific corners." He spoke with long pauses between the sentences. "You must know a little of the irksome labour of the world, or you would not be here. But I doubt if you can be so brain-weary and footsore as I am. Bah! Sometimes I doubt if the game is worth the candle. I feel inclined to throw the whole thing over, name, wealth, and position, and take to some modest trade. But I know if I abandoned my ambition, hardly as she uses me, I should have nothing but remorse left for the rest of my days." He became silent. I looked at him in astonishment.